2 Peter 1. And let's begin reading in verse 3. I still hear pages, so I'll give you another second. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. It says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Now let's just stop right there. Last week, I shared with you from the Word of God and taught you how that when a person turns from their sin to Jesus Christ and they trust the Lord to save them, that they actually, the Christ's Spirit comes to dwell in our spirit. And, you know, who you really are is who you are at the spirit level. Okay, that's the deepest level. I see your body, but your spirit, that's who you really are. Okay, and when a person trusts the Lord and gets saved, then Christ's Spirit comes into their spirit. He that is joined to the Lord, the Bible says, is one spirit. And you are given a new identity. You are given the divine nature of Jesus Christ to indwell you the moment that you're saved. Now, when that divine life that's been planted in us flows forth from us, the Bible calls that spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit. Now, in your handout, it says, God has given you everything you need to have a spiritual life of power, godliness, and fruitfulness. Verse 3. The Bible says, according to God's divine power, He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Sometimes we think, I can't do it. I just can't forgive that person, and I can't love them, and I can't put aside the bitterness, and I can't, you know, overcome this habit, and I can't live godly, and I need more love, and I need more faith, and I need more this and more that. Listen, folks, the Bible says in verse 3 that according to God's divine power, God gave you all things. It's a past event. It's a past tense. When you got saved, God gave you all things that you needed. Everything that you needed that pertains to life and godliness. Remember the illustration last week I gave of the baby? When a healthy baby, a normal baby, is born into the world, it has all the equipment necessary to function and to live on this earth and to breathe on this earth. It isn't that the baby at a month gets, you know, a couple kidneys, and then at 2 months gets a liver, and then at 3 months he starts growing an eyeball, and then at 5 months he grows a nose, and then at 6 months, oh, it's terrible, he grows a mouth, you know, and that's not good, is it? And no, what happens? The baby has everything it needs when it's born. So what does that baby need to do? The greatest need that baby has is that baby needs to what? Not a trick question. The baby just needs to grow. And verse 5, if you look at it with me, it's the same thing in our life. When you got saved, you got the faith, the righteousness, the love, the peace, the joy of Christ. You received all that in Christ when you got saved. You got everything you needed. But here's the necessity. Verse 5, beside this, giving all diligence, add. Remember that word add means nourish, to grow. Grow to your faith. So you know what our greatest necessity is, guys? Our greatest necessity is we've got to grow our faith. We just have to grow in our relationship with Christ. And as we grow in that relationship with Christ, we grow in our total faith and our total dependence on Him. And as you grow in that relationship with Jesus Christ, see, that's what the Christian life's all about. It's about that relationship with Jesus. Those of you that were in Discipleship Growth Group this morning, I'm reiterating what you just heard, that the Christian life's not a list of rules and it's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's about a relationship with a person, Jesus Christ. And it's about Jesus placing His divine nature inside of you. Christ's Spirit, Jesus, becoming one with you. And as you grow in that relationship with Jesus Christ, then there's divine life that comes forth from you, and that's called spiritual fruit. And we see here in 2 Peter 1 some of that fruit. Okay, look at it with me. Look at verse 5. And beside this, he said, giving all diligence, add, nourish to your faith. Notice it all starts with faith, just faith and dependence on Christ. But notice what the outcome of that is. As I grow in my faith, the first fruit is what? It's here too. You can cheat and look on your handout, all right? The first fruit is what? Virtue. Remember last week? Moral courage. Look at the second fruit. The second one we covered last week was what? Knowledge. That's discernment. Now, let's go to the third one this morning, and that's temperance. Now, I want you to write this in. Temperance carries the idea of restraint. Restraint. If I'm temperate, that means that I restrain. For instance, give you an illustration. Okay, just a silly illustration, but it'll serve the purpose. You're on a diet, and you're heading down International Speedway Boulevard. Your head up me. You're coming down International Speedway Boulevard, and you're coming to the intersection of International Speedway and Nova Road. Are you with me? You know what's coming. You're on that diet, and what happens? That hot donut light tackles you as you go by. Right? Now, if you're not temperate, you just can't restrain, and so there's just gravity or something pulls you in the parking lot, and you stop and get you a dozen of them rascals and eat them. Now, temperance means you restrain, you refrain. Temperance. Now follow me here, okay? When you got saved, Jesus Christ came to dwell in your spirit and change your identity at the spirit level. Okay? You received His nature in Christ. But now, wait a minute. You are still in a fleshly body, and in your body dwells the law of sin. In other words, our flesh wants to, the law of sin in our flesh, it wants to indulge in all the wrong things. The things that dishonor Christ and the things that will destroy us. The things that will destroy our relationships. Man, the law of sin in our flesh wants to indulge in fleshly appetites and in fleshly passions. And temperance is when you restrain from that. In your handout, if you look at that, it says, temperance is when your fleshly appetite is restrained and controlled. Now, but let me let you in on a little secret. Okay, listen. When it comes to you being temperate, think of areas in your life that your flesh enjoys that you know is wrong. Okay? Those fleshly appetites, you cannot overcome them. You say, well, nothing like coming to church and getting encouraged. What do you mean I can't overcome them? You can't do it. If you think you're going to grit your teeth and you're going to exercise willpower and determination and you're going to control your flesh and you're not going to do that anymore, you're not going to say those things anymore, you're not going to look at those things anymore, you're not going to listen to those things anymore, you're not going to indulge in that anymore, if you think you're going to grit your teeth and just determine, you're sadly mistaken. You ever do something that you know is a fleshly appetite and you choose to follow that fleshly appetite and you feel so bad? Why do you feel bad? Because God has changed you at your spirit level. You're a new creature in Christ. That's not who you are anymore. When you indulge in those fleshly things, that's not you. Your whole identity changed when you got in Christ. That's not you. You're acting against your identity. So therefore, there's no joy in that. There's no peace in that. There's no happiness or fulfillment, lasting fulfillment in that. And have you ever done something like that, and then you felt terrible, and you felt guilty, and you're like, I'm never going to do that again. I'm going to have willpower. I'm going to determine. That's it. I'm done. I'm through. Never again. And 2 hours later, you just did it again. I am hitting home right now, ain't I? 2 hours later, he did it again. Maybe 30 minutes later. Why? Because you know what that is? When you say, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to determine, I'm going to have willpower, I'm going to have inner strength, I'm not going to do that anymore. That's just flesh trying to overcome flesh. That's just you and your flesh, you're trying to overcome these fleshly things. And it doesn't work. It's the equivalent of, say a flood is coming in my house. The streets have flooded and the flood has come into my house. And as the flood starts to come into my house, I holler, Denise, get the hose! Get the hose. Get the hose. She brings me the hose. And I start, let me see if I can beat this flood back with this hose. And I just got the water going on it. That's the equivalent of you and your flesh trying to overcome these fleshly habits and fleshly things. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. You can't do it. And so many times in our Christian life, that's what we do. Give me something I can do. Give me something I can memorize. Give me something I can say. We want a magic wand. You know? If you think, okay, I'm going to go to that addictions ministry that we're starting, and they're going to give me something to do where I can overcome this thing. No. Mm-mm. We want something we can do. But let me remind you, in your handout, temperance is a fruit of the Spirit. Just because I already mentioned it once, and I'm just going to mention it again. Even if you could overcome a fleshly habit through your own power, all it would do is give way to another sin. Say, what do you mean? Say, for instance, and people have done it, through their willpower and their determination, they lose weight. Well, you know what? You do it through your power and your might. What does it lead to? Pride. Arrogance. And now it's like, I look pretty good, don't I? Whew. And boy, you think you look hot. And it just leads to, you know, all this. One sin just gives way to another. You know? And whenever you try to overcome your flesh through your flesh, I'm going to do it. It just leads, even if you do manage to do it, it just leads to another sin. It just leads to another one. Flesh cannot overcome flesh. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Temperance is said to be a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:23. Look at me. Only Christ's Spirit within you can bring temperance in your life. True temperance. In your handout, it says, trying harder will not bring temperance. And there are so many Christians that are in this cycle. Tell me if you've ever been there. So many Christians are in this, I'm going to try harder, I'm going to try harder, I'm going to try harder, I'm not going to do it anymore, I'm going to just keep trying harder. And then they go through a give-up cycle. Ah, I give up. I can't do it. Man, if this is what the Christian life's all about, then just forget it, because I can't do it. And then they go through a give-up cycle. And then something hits them, a message, you know, really gets a hold of them, or a trial comes in their life, or some problem comes in their life, or some song, you know, brings an emotion to them, and they're like, all right, pull the bootstraps up again, I'm going to try it again. So they go through a period of trying harder, and then there's another period of just give up. That is not what, if you think that's the Christian life, try harder, give up, try harder, give up. That is not the Christian life. Satan has deceived you. That is not what it's meant to be. That is not at all what it's all about, okay? Trying harder is not going to bring temperance in your life. In your handout, it says temperance is found in trusting Christ to live through you. Listen, folks, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ lives in you, okay? You rest in Him. You depend on Him. You trust Him. We walk. Look, the Bible says that the just doesn't walk by sight. They walk by what? Faith. It's just a faith. It's a dependence moment by moment on Jesus Christ. Look in your handout at Galatians 5:16. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, notice there's no straining, no striving, no self-mutilation in that verse. It just says, walk in the Spirit. And what's the result? When I'm walking in the Spirit, I don't fulfill the what? The lust of the flesh. That temperance is there, but it's coming as a fruit of Christ in me. It's coming as a fruit of the Spirit. Notice he didn't say work in the Spirit, strive in the Spirit, strain in the Spirit. He said, walk in the Spirit. Walking carries the idea of just something that we do very naturally, right? I mean, a normal, healthy person, when they walk, they don't labor over each step. I mean, if I say, you know what, I need to go back to the usher's room. I don't stand here once I decide I'm going to go to the usher's room. I don't stand here and go, should I step this way or should I walk this way? Oh boy, which way should I go? Oh, there's so many decisions. Oh man, let's see, is there a rule on that? Let's see, what? Should I take a big step, a medium step, a little step? I just don't know. Is that the way you walk? It's not the way I walk. When I say I got to go to the usher's room, what do? Let's do that. You just take off walking. It's very natural. You don't labor over each step. He said, walk in the Spirit. You know what that means? That just means moment by moment, you are just walking with Jesus, your constant companion. Your friend that sticks closer than a brother, you're walking in Him. You're just moment by moment resting in your relationship with Him, looking to Him. You go to work in the morning and there's an awareness all day at work of your need of Christ. All day long you have an awareness of His presence. All day long there's an awareness of your need for Him. And listen, folks, that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Just moment by moment, you're walking with Jesus. And you're depending solely upon Him. It's about a relationship with a person, Jesus Christ. And when you are resting in Christ, you're walking in the Spirit. And you know what? As you walk in the Spirit, and as you walk with Christ, those other things, you know, they just kind of fall off. Those other things just kind of naturally begin falling off as you moment, by faith, look to Jesus and rest in Him. Those other things fall off. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. You're just resting in Christ. Christ in you. You're conscious. He's with you. So, Lord, be with me. You know what? I think sometimes when we pray and we say, Lord, I pray You'll be with me as I go to work today, I think God looks down from heaven and says, sorry, you don't have any choice. That's good, isn't it? Sorry, you don't have any choice. I will be with you whether you want me or not, because when you receive me as your Savior, I came to live inside you. I became one with your Spirit, and I'll be with you for all eternity. When you holler and yell at that coworker, he's with you. Okay? The problem is what? You're just not abiding in Him. You're not depending on Him. You're not trusting Him in that moment. You're just resting in the flesh. You're not resting in Christ. You're straining in the flesh. You're not resting in Christ. And folks, He's with you everywhere you go and in everything you do. And as you walk in the Spirit, you have that awareness of His presence everywhere you go and in everything you do. And you realize how much you need Him, how much you're depending on Him for everything. He's your source of life and strength and everything. Let me give you that next fruit there, one more fruit this morning. And that's the fruit of patience. Patience. Patience is a very misunderstood thing in the Bible. Most Christians, listen, and I want you to test yourself and see if you do. Most Christians don't understand biblically what patience means. In fact, I read this poem, and it offended me. It says, patience is a virtue, possess it if you can, found seldom in a woman, never in a man. Now, a woman wrote that poem, I know. And that offended me. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what? We think of patience in terms of, oh boy, he don't blow his stack very much. We think because a guy don't blow his stack much, he's got patience. Biblically, that's not patience. Okay? Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Patience is not just you don't blow your stack very much. Some people are, you know, you've heard the expression, boy, he's good-natured. Some people are just naturally more good-natured, laid-back, easygoing than others. But that biblically, that's not patience. Yesterday, my wife sent me into McDonald's with three boys and had me order for those boys. Do you know the families that you never want to get behind in line? I'm that guy. I'm him. I'm the guy you never want to get behind in line. Because I'm sitting there trying to order for three kids, and it's a fiasco. We changed our order five times. And my little six-year-old says, I want that. Well, he's pointing up at this big menu. I want that. I said, what? That. I said, just tell me. I can't read. Okay. Well, what is it? I said, look, all the value meals have numbers beside them. You know your numbers. Just tell me the number.
It doesn't have a number.
It's got to have a number. They all got numbers. So leave it to my 16-year-old. Dad, I think he's referring to that picture over there of that value meal. I think he wants that picture. Mm-hmm. He saw a picture, you know. Let me tell you something, folks. I didn't blow my stack. I didn't get mad. I didn't get angry. And I'm sure the people behind me in line looked at me and thought, oh, how patient a man he is. But folks, that's not biblically patience, just because I don't blow my stack. Okay? That's not patience. You say, well, what is it? Let me give you the definition. Look in your handout. Patience carries the idea, okay, of enduring, okay, and the idea is enduring through faith in God, okay, that we endure when circumstances are difficult. That our faith just increases and grows when circumstances are difficult, when we're going through trials. That our faith in God is just so strong. And over again in the New Testament, patience is linked to suffering. Look with me at your handout. If you'll turn that over, look at 2 Thessalonians 1:4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Look at the next verse. Take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Notice how, again, suffering and patience goes together. Look at the next thing. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. See how it's linked together? You know, there's a verse in Romans 5:3 that says, tribulation worketh patience. All that means, church, and that's been misunderstood too, and it's been misused. When the Bible says tribulation worketh patience, that just means that the fruit of patience, okay, remember it's Christ in us, the fruit of His patience comes out during tribulation. That's when it's brought to the surface. That's when it's needed, is when tribulation comes. Tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation works. It brings out that patience that we have in Christ. That fruit is needed, and that fruit comes to the surface when tribulation comes and we're abiding in Christ. I've actually heard Christians that get all confused on that, and Christians will say, don't ever pray for patience, because if you pray for patience, God will send you problems. That's childish, okay? Do you really think that you're going to have a problem-free life if you don't pray for patience? Of course not. Trials and problems and suffering are a built-in part of this life that we live on this earth. Amen? So whether you pray for patience or not, hate to tell you this, you're still going to have problems. You're still going to have trials. You're never going to avoid them. You're never going to get rid of them. But when trials do come, patience is that fruit that comes forth from a growing disciple of Christ. You see, if we're depending on Jesus moment by moment, we're just trusting in Him completely, then when the trials come, we don't fear, we don't panic, we don't worry, we don't get angry with God, we don't question God, we patiently endure. That's what patience is. We patiently endure. We just rest in Christ. We rest in Him alone. Our total dependence and trust is in Christ. We know that His love for us is constant. We know that it's never changing. And God wants us to rest in Christ every moment. And as we do, listen, as we rest in Christ, trials are going to come. But when the trials come, they test our faith. But as we continue to trust Christ to live through us, the fruit of patience comes to the surface. What an example Christ was, huh, of patience. Look in your handout at Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, what's the next three words? Say it with me. Endured the cross. See, He had to endure some suffering. But notice it says, despising the shame, and He sat down at the right-hand throne of God. And we read that, and you know what a lot of people think? Oh, that's right. Yeah, Jesus endured through tribulation and He was faithful and I got to be like Jesus. No. No. Remember, Jesus lives in you. I want you to get that in your handout. It's not a matter of you trying to be like Him. You, notice the emphasis, it's not a matter of you trying to be like Jesus. He lives in you. He abides in you. You're one with Him. And you, in your handout, it says, you bear the fruit of His patience as we surrender to Him. It's His patience living through you. Not you just trying to be like Him. No, He does it through you as you rest in Him. Look at the verse I have there, Colossians 1:11. It says, strengthened with all might according to His. That's Christ. We are strengthened according to Christ's glorious power. And what's the fruit? Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, I hope you're seeing this morning. We don't just grit our teeth and endure. His patience brings joy with it. Well, I got all these problems in my life, but I'm just going to stay faithful. I'm going to hang in there, baby. I am not going to quit. No. The Bible says His patience brings joy with it. Patience with joyfulness. Now, that doesn't mean that when you're suffering that you're just giddy and happy and laughing. Nobody likes pain. Amen? I don't like to suffer. You know, I found it to be painful. I don't like it. But you know what? When I am called on to suffer by God, when His patience flows through me, when I'm yielded to Him, I'm looking to Him in faith, when the Bible says there's joy in the midst of sorrow, there's joy in the midst of the pain, I'm reminded of when my dad passed away. And when my dad passed away, it was a shock. And my dad next to my wife, you know, he'd been my best friend growing up. And we were close, man, we were tight. And it was a shock when he died of a massive heart attack. And you know what? It wasn't that I was giddy and laughing and ha ha. No, but there was just this deep abiding sense of joy, because I knew that I was in Christ. I knew that the Lord was with me. I knew that nothing could separate me from His love. I knew that God had a reason, and I knew that He was walking with me through that. So there was this abiding joy as I went through the suffering. That's what patience is all about. We patiently endure. How? Through Christ. His power and His might brings that as we look to Him in faith. See? As you grow in your relationship with Christ, you trust Him by faith more and more. And listen, folks, as you trust Christ every day more and more, then His life flows forth from you. Let me just real quickly, and I'm done, give you this illustration. I want you to picture for a moment. Now, I'm going to give you the last blank here in just a second. Picture for a moment, Christ in you is like a well of water, a never-ending spring, a well of water. Christ is that well, okay? If you look at your handout, what are the fruits that we mentioned? Read them with me. Turn your handout over. The first fruit was, say it loud, virtue. The second fruit, Knowledge. The third fruit, temperance. The fourth fruit, patience. Picture, Christ is the well in you. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, and patience are the water that comes out of that well in you. They're just the water. They're the fruit that comes out of that well, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's all about that relationship with Him. And in your handout on the back, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like that baby, we've just got to grow. We grow in that relationship with Him. And in your handout, it says, your greatest need is simply to grow in the grace and knowledge of your relationship with Christ. And man, that water comes out as you abide in Him, as you depend on Him. Listen, folks, next week we're going to look at the last three fruits. It's going to be exciting. So let's go to the Lord in prayer right now with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.